Good. Felt good. I almost didn't wake up. My wife was coming to smack me around, make sure I got up in time for church. So thank you for my human alarm clock. But, I hope everyone had a good afternoon, got a good meal in, and got a nap, and was ready for our services tonight. Before we start, I'm going to Rob Steele, open us up for prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity to be back in church. That you would guide and direct in all the aspects of the service tonight. You and our pastor continue to guide him in the way we have him go. We pray for all the events going on here at the church. Next little while, we receive the honor of her. Take care of all the details there. Thank you for providing what is needed in order to take care of these things. Pray tonight that we would each receive something from you, that our hearts would be encouraged to continue to serve you in the days of life ahead as you carry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
You would. I'd ask you to please stand with me. Turn to page 420. Page 420. My anger, Lord.
Oh,
Page number 426.
Oh, not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Let's pray again. Stay, Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace, dear God. I ask for your help tonight. Lord, I ask for your help. I ask for your wisdom and guidance and direction. Lord, that you would be glorified and honored and praised. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Lord, open our ears, dear God. Help us to hear what you'd have to say to us this evening. God, speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us have eyes to see, Lord, and a desire to draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And we just praise you and give you the glory and honor for it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Bible says, what we're looking at tonight, it says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Last week, I looked a little bit at it. Before you can prove all things yourself, before you can prove all things yourself and hold fast that which is good, I mentioned last week, it does good to ask God to first prove you. Okay, to ask God to prove you, you to desire for God to examine you to see where you stand with God. And real quick, take your Bible and look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 real quick. Just a quick review here before we move forward. Deuteronomy 8, we looked a little bit of this morning. But look at Deuteronomy 8 verses 1 through 3 for a moment. Prove all things. Prove all things. So look here at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 1 real quick. Just a quick review here. It says, chapter 8 verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to what? Look what it says. And to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And it goes on to say in verse 3, and he humbled thee, who? God, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Here we find at the latter part of Moses' life and here in the book of Deuteronomy that God established these things and God did these things for 40 years for the children of Israel to prove them, to see what was in their heart. And 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. You know, the first thing we've got to do is we've got to examine ourselves. We've got to allow God to prove us to see where we're really at with our walking with God. And after we have proven, then we can then use that and then prove those things that are acceptable to Him. What is acceptable to God? You know, in order to be in a position to prove all things, there's some things that you must do. Before you can do what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 19 or 21, before you can prove all things and hold fast that which is good, there's some things you've got to do. Take your Bible. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You see, we're to prove things, brethren. We're to try them. We're to ascertain whether these things are true or false, whether they're beneficial to us or whether they'll hurt us. We're to prove things, the Bible says. And then we're to hold fast that which is good. Look at Romans 12, verse 1. Familiar verses. But Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, for what? That ye may prove what is good. How are you going to prove all things? How are you going to prove what is good if you're not even willing to offer as a living sacrifice unto God? If you have no desire to strive to live a holy life, then there's no need to try to prove things because your heart already shows that you don't really care to know what is approvable to God. What does God accept? What will God receive from us? Paul says here that we're to be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he says these things. Don't be conformed to this world. What this world says you should do and how you should act and how you should live, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't get caught up with the trappings of this world. What does this world push on us? that you're supposed to get a good job, make a lot of money, get a nice house, get nice cars, have a full retirement fund, have everything set up, and then when you get your 60s and 70s, you start realizing what really matters because time is quickly moving on. And by that time, it's too late for most cases to say, you know what, let me go back and redo this thing. It's too late. You can't go back and redo it. So Paul's beseeching the brethren in Romans saying, listen, if you want to be where you need to be with God, you got to be willing to be a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And you can't be conformed to this world. But you got to be transformed. You got to be changed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what's good. How can you prove what's good? Your mind's got to be transformed. Your mind's got to be renewed. You've got to be saved, first of all. And then you got to base everything off of what does the Bible say is approvable or acceptable to God. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Don't let it go. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Flip over a couple pages. To over 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Actually, look at verse 13. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. How are you going to prove what's good? How are you going to prove what's acceptable to God? By having a spiritual walk. You've got to have a spiritual walk. You've got to be able to discern between spiritual and spiritual. And the Holy Spirit of God has to be teaching you and showing you, not man. Do you just have what you have because a man said it, or because the Holy Ghost of God has given it to you? That's a very important question right there. Do you do what you do because it's what man says needs to be done? Or are you doing it because the Holy Spirit is dealing with you in your life and saying, this should be done, and no, this shouldn't be done, or yes, we go forward here, no, don't go forward here. Leading and directing of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, it's not just a checklist of do's and don'ts. It's a walk with the Holy Spirit. It's a walk with God as He speaks with you and He deals with you through the Holy Spirit. You see, you can't always have brethren around. You can't always have a pastor around. You can't always have husband or wife around, or mom or dad around. And there's times where you might be alone and you know better, and the Holy Spirit is saying no or yes, and you need to yield to that. The Holy Spirit speaking to us, showing us, and helping us prove what is good and acceptable to God. Well, take your Bible, look at Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15. Has anybody in here ever had food poisoning? Yes. If you've never had food poisoning, you should never desire it. I've heard, and I can't remember if I've really, I know my wife had it one time, and I've never seen her as sick as she was sick for those 24 hours or however. It was pretty quick, but it was bad. And I know you had it not too recently, right? Horrible! Like when it hits you from all angles, and you're stuck in the bathroom, basically. It's bad. But usually food poisoning occurs because you've eaten something that's spoiled and good. Right? It makes you really sick because your body's like, you should have never put that in here, and we don't want it in here, and we're doing everything we can to get it out of here. That's even if you're laying down there on the bathroom floor, the body's saying, we're getting this stuff out of here as quick as possible because this is not good for us. But look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So how do you prove all things? Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit that it's producing. What kind of fruit is it showing you? You say, well, how do I know what's good fruit and bad fruit? Well, how do you know good fruit and bad fruit in a supermarket? Look, if I'm trying to eat healthy and I'm going to the supermarket, I'm definitely not getting the romaine lettuce or the tomatoes or the cucumbers or squash. If it's all wrinkled up and spoiled and got dents in it and worms crawling all through it, and I'm not picking that piece of fruit up or vegetable up to buy and eat. Examine it by the scriptures.
Yeah.
So then what does that mean you have to do? That means you've got to spend time in your Bible. Never see my face again. God forbid something happened to me tonight and you never see my face again. One thing I would want to leave with this church is always stay in your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Meditate upon your Bible. Know your Bible. Because the more you know your Bible, how else do you tell if something's spoiled? You ever eaten something and you're like, oh no, that's not good. That tasted bad right off the... Look, I like using heavy whipping cream in my coffee. But there's times where heavy whipping cream's gone bad. As soon as you take that cap off, if you smell it, you start pouring it, it's clumps. Like, oh, yep, this is spoiled. No good. I knew a man one time in the military. They had shipped some Connex, supposed to be refrigerated Connexes down there to Panama. I believe it was Panama. He was telling me the story. And they hadn't had milk in a long time. And he said, supposedly they were getting a shipment in for some of the soldiers who were down there, and they were looking forward, some of them were looking forward to some cold milk. They hadn't had it in a long time. And he said, he ran over there, they got it, and it was cool when he went in there, and he pulled it out, and he said, he opened the thing up, and started, and it was spoiled. He started gagging. He said, Chris, I was sick as a dog. He said, I had no clue that it was bad, because when I went in the Connex, it was cold. But at some point, it had been hot. So when you started guzzling that thing, even though it was cold, it was spoiled. I say all that to say, you can taste things and know, or you can smell things and maybe I shouldn't eat this. I'm going to pass it and move on to something else. Same thing spiritually. If it doesn't smell right, and I'm not talking to brother and sister in the Lord that's not wearing deodorant. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about attitudes in some ways. Look, I really believe this, brethren. I believe God gives us little red flags.
Yeah. Sorry.
I believe God gives us little red flags when we're lost. Hey, you shouldn't do that. Or hey, nope, no, don't go down this direction. Hey, nope, nope. Bearing witness where your conscience. Look, I'll give you another quick example. I wasn't saved yet, and I was in the Air Force, and I had done some things and went out with some guys, and the whole time at this point, I knew I shouldn't be with these guys. I knew I shouldn't be with them. Shouldn't we go and doing the things that they're doing? We weren't doing nothing crazy bad. But they started drinking, and I said, no, I don't want to drink. And so they said, well, we've got to go somewhere else. Let's get in the car and go. And the whole time, the Lord's, and I wasn't saved yet, but my conscience, I believe the Lord was saying, don't get in that car. Don't get in that car. Don't get in that car. I got in that car. We started driving down the highway down there in Charleston, and it was about 11 o'clock at night. And I was looking at my friend. I was in the passenger seat. He was driving crazy because he had been drinking. I looked at him right down that intersection. I said, pull this car over. I'm getting out. He's like, I don't know we're on the interstate. I said, I don't care that we're on the interstate. Pull this car over. I'm walking. So eventually he pulled the car over. I started walking. Somebody came and picked me up. But I wasn't saved yet. But then something told me, Lord said, don't get in that car. The conscience saying, don't get in that car. I believe God helps us and gives us, whether our conscience or God, gives us red flags to say, hey, yes or no, this is not good. If we have ears to hear. Most of the time, people don't want to hear, so they Lala, I don't want to hear what you got to say. And it's to their detriment and sometimes to their destruction. By their fruit, you shall know them. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Jesus talked about fruit. He tells them by the fruit you should know them. He's referring to false prophets that come in like wolves, but they're in sheep's clothing. It kind of correlates over to Ephesians chapter 5 when Paul talks to the church here. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse number 1 second. Ephesians 5, and look at verse number 6. For the sake of time here, you should read the whole chapter because it kind of all goes together, but look at verse 6. Let no man, Ephesians 5 or 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Look, Paul's saying that there's going to be individuals that will try to creep in, and as they try to creep in, they'll try to deceive you, they'll try to trick you, they'll try to get over on you with vain words, empty words, they'll try to get over on you. And Paul says, because of these things, that's why God's wrath is coming down upon the children of disobedience. And Paul says in verse 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them. Because look what he says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Look what he says in verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You go on to read there, and he says that the light will show you what's good and what's right. You don't go to a supermarket. I've never been to a supermarket, especially in the fruit and vegetable section, to where it's, you're picking out your fruits and vegetables in absolute darkness. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine going to the farmer's market or to the fruit section of some place, and they say, hey, yeah, where's your fruit, where's your vegetables? Oh, they're in that room over there. Oh, okay. And you go through the door into the room, and it's pitch black. And the guy said, you say, hey, it's dark in there, you got a light? He says, no, you got to go in there and you got to pick it in the dark. You'd be like, no, man, no. But how many of us do that in our life? We'll go into the dark and do things that we, and it gets ourselves in trouble. So we turn on the light to see what might be good and what might not be good. Well, how do you turn on a spiritual light? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You put those words into you and you're putting a flashlight into your soul to know what's good and what's right and what's wrong and what's evil. But you don't put these words into your heart and into your soul and into your brain and into your mind and into you, you're going to have a hard time discerning what's good and what's right. What will be harmful to you or what will be good for you? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Now, look at the next verse real quick tonight. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. But then he goes on to say, abstain. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, last thing tonight, verse 22. He tells us to prove all things, and in the things that are good, we're to hold fast unto them. Don't let them go. And in the very next verse, he says this. He says, abstain. He says, abstain from all evil. That's what the Bible says. No, that's not what it says. It says, abstain from all appearance of evil. So it takes it even a step further. You would think that it would be okay just for the Bible to say, abstain from all evil. Yeah, that's good. Yes, abstain from all evil. The Lord says, no, 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 we're going to take it a step further. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Well, preacher, it's not wrong, but does it look wrong? Does it put forth the wrong view from somebody who's looking outside in? Abstain from all appearance of evil. I'll say this again, and I'll be nice about this. And I know some might disagree with me this, but you ought not to be living with somebody unless they're your husband or your wife. Amen. Because that's abstaining from all appearance of evil. We're not doing nothing. We're just in the same house. It doesn't matter. It's the appearance. It's the appearance. And Paul says here, this is Bible. This is not Preacher Chris. This is the Bible that says abstain. Don't give none occasion to the adversary or the enemy to blaspheme the name of God, which some claim to be, to the appearance of evil. Abstain from all. He says here, abstain from all appearance of evil. But we can, but can, how do we abstain from evil if we don't know what evil is? Well, Proverbs 8:13 talks about some things that are evil: pride, arrogance, the forward mouth, the evil way. The Bible says, do I hate, the Lord says. And then the Bible says in Genesis 6:5 to 8:21 there, before God destroys the earth with Noah's flood, that every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. And then there were some bad things going on there in Genesis chapter 5 and in Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord says, my spirit will not always strive with man, for his days shall be 120 years. God says, basically, I'm going to give them 120 years to make this thing right and then get in that ark when it's completed. Because God says, my spirit's not always going to strive. But we're going to look at that on Sunday mornings as we come up to it. But we have to know it's evil before we can abstain from it. Again, how do you know what's evil? Stay in your Bibles. What does God say is evil? What does God say that He doesn't approve of? Read Ephesians chapter 5, the whole chapter. There's a list of things there that God says He does not approve of. So what God doesn't approve of, we ought not to just not do it. We should abstain from the very appearance of it. We shouldn't even give the enemy any ammunition at all. We should do the best we can to abstain from the very appearance as if we're doing wrong. Yeah. It's not just good enough to just not do the evil. It's not good enough. Yeah. God says abstain from the appearance. Mm-hmm. These things are serious with God. Yeah. God takes these things very serious. Because you know what comes out in the end? The world looks out there and says, those Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. Again, why should I want to go to church? They do the same things I do, yet they got Jesus. So why would I should waste my time? I've had people tell me that. I've had lots of people through the years to say, I went to church. I've had people say they jammed their religion down my throat and they were nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Now, that doesn't give them no excuse. They're not going to be able to ride that horse in the glory. Okay? But God forbid I should give them any more ammunition. Abstain from all appearance of evil, the Bible says. Why? Look at Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to look at these few things here and we're going to close tonight. Why? Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7. And if you got Proverbs 3, verse 7, take your hand and flip over, hold your hand there, and look at 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19 and Proverbs 3, 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, verse 7, and in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 19. Okay? Look at Proverbs first. Proverbs 3, verse number 7. Look what Proverbs 3, verse 7 says. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. What's the fear of the Lord? That's Proverbs 8:13. If you want to look at it later on, that's the fear of the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord. And look what it says, and evil. Look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you name, look, brethren, name the name of Jesus Christ, think about for a moment what name you're claiming. Yeah. Think about what name you're claiming and who you're claiming to represent. That's a serious claim. That's like you saying, I'm Jesus Christ's representative. Yeah. Think about an ambassador. You all know what an ambassador is. They go to foreign countries. Let's say our ambassador to Spain goes over to Spain and they fly him over on the biggest piece of junk, the oldest airplane we got, he flies into Spain on. Immediately, those government officials, those dignitaries over there in Spain are going to be like, ooh, it must be going pretty rough over there in America right now. They're flying their man over on that. And then he goes to set the steps down for him, to put the steps down, and some of the steps are missing. They're not getting a good impression right away of the representative of America. And let's say he steps out with some sand on, some shorts, a beach tank top, his hat turned sideways, and he comes down and says, hey, I'm the ambassador of the U.S. You've just done lost all respect, all dignity, and they won't listen to a word you got to say. Because you're not representing the U.S. like the U.S. ought to be represented. Look, any ambassador or any military official that is on official business, they are looking very sharp. Their uniforms, their suits, their ties, their shoes, their haircut, they look like they're representing the country that they're representing. I say all to say that we as Christians represent Jesus Christ. But what kind of representation are we giving to this world of who Jesus is? That's why the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you name the name of Jesus Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, and you tell others, I'm a Christian, you're now saying, I am the representative of Jesus Christ. What are they seeing? Because you'll be held accountable for it. Because what, look, let's say the U.S., I'm going to give you another example real quick. Let's say the U.S. does send them over, and he sends them over on the best plane we got. The most technological plane we got yet. Because we're trying to impress this other country, like, don't mess with us. I'm sending my ambassador there, he's going to speak my words, and you better take heed to this. So they send them over, because they want to scare the snot out of this country. They want to impress this country. He flies over there, he's got they've given him the best suit, they've given him the best everything to represent the United States of America, and yet he still goes off the plane, his clothes are all torn, he's dirty, he ain't taken a shower in 2 weeks, he stinks, his hair's all messed up. He's still representing the U.S., but he's putting across a wrong representation. And do you not think that he'll be held accountable by his superiors? Those of you men that were in the military here, and you got mustered called to duty, how many of you, when you got called to duty to go on a deployment, and they say, meet at the plane or wherever at 0200 hours, have all the things there, and somebody shows up with shorts and a t-shirt on, and do you not think the sergeant and the lieutenant and the captain and the major, probably not going to get that high, probably be the sergeant, he's going to look at you and say, have you lost your mind? What are you doing? Oh, we're going on a trip. Yeah, we're going on a trip, but you better do something quick or you're going to the brig, to jail. Why? Because he's misrepresenting and he's not dressing and he's not acting like he ought to be acting as a soldier, and there's consequences to it. I say all this to say that if we name the name of Christ, we better be careful how we're representing him, because someday we're going to give an account of how we represent him because we claimed his name. Can you imagine standing before Jesus someday and the Lord saying, yeah, you said you knew me, but you definitely didn't represent me like I wanted you to represent me, and you gave the world a wrong representation. That would not be a good day. So Paul gives a warning to the church here. He says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Do not put off a false front to this world. Be a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told to remove our foot from evil. We're told to hate evil and abhor it. And we're warned of the evil of the wicked man and the strange woman in Proverbs. So how does one depart or abstain from evil? Look at Proverbs 16:6. Almost done here. 16:6. Look at the Bible says here. I want to get to one last thing here. Proverbs 16:6. So how do you abstain from evil? How do you depart from evil? How do you abstain from the appearance of it? The Bible says in Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord men depart from evil. You know how people depart from evil? By fearing God. You know why we have so much evil in our society today? Because nobody fears God no more. There's no fear of God no more. 60, 70, 80 years ago, you had people that weren't saved, that really didn't want nothing to do with church, but they still had a right fear of God. They had a fear of God. I remember heard a story of another man named Alvin York. Anybody heard of Alvin York? Great story. There's a nice little movie, an excellent movie on him. Did some... That man, though, he right away. He wrestled that thing, and then when they called him into the military and all, that's a whole other story. But there was you read the books on him, and though he wasn't saved, he still had a fear to think. At one point, he didn't. He mocked it. But at one point he did. And it used to be back 60, 70, 80 years ago that someone might not be saved. They still feared God, and they'd be afraid to curse God or say something against God. We've lost the fear of God today. You see, men and women today have absolutely no fear of God, thus the influence and prevalence of evil in our society today. Not only is there no fear of God, almost all who believe there is no God, they also believe that there's no God and that we're accountable to no one. I'm going to close with these verses here. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. No fear of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that I believe it to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Look what it says a lot of part of that verse. So that they are without excuse. Nobody's got an excuse according to Romans chapter 1 here. God's revealed himself to all mankind. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. All the way back to proving all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Look, rejecting the light that shows you what's bad, what's wicked, what's evil, what's not approvable unto God, men reject the light, they reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, they reject anything about the true God, and when you reject that and push that off, what you're actually rejecting is light. And the more you reject it and put it off and walk away from it, the more you walk into darkness. Dark darkness. Darkness to where you can't even see your hand in front of your face. And that's where we're at today in society, because we completely and put out any semblance of light of the gospel of Jesus Christ or of this book here. And therefore, things happen here in society today because their foolish heart has been darkened. Look at verse 2. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the invisible God into an image of a corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Now this is a scary verse right here. For, because they've rejected the light, because they became vain, imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened, because they thought they were wise, they became fools. Wherefore, in verse 24, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know what most people today worship? Themselves. They worship their men shall be lovers of their own selves. People out here today, everybody loves themselves. Because they've rejected God, they've rejected the light, and now they love themselves, but it seems like the more that they try to love themselves, the more miserable and bad it gets. If it's always about you. You're only really happy when you're doing for others. When you start doing for others, you'll have joy to explain when you try to do for others. But when it's always about you, you're going to be one miserable individual. Verse number 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did a natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, and with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of that which was meet. And even as, so why did they get to this point? Why such sexual perversion? How could we get to this point, God? Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They rejected God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove what is good. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Second Corinthians 6 says this, verse 1 through 4. It says, the last part of verse says, giving none offense. Give no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. Look over there real quick. We're going to close with that. 2 Corinthians 6. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Be a good ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you name the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Do those things that are pleasing in the eyes of your Father, your Heavenly Father. 2 Corinthians 6. Why? So that the ministry is not blamed. That you don't pull out a false representation of who Jesus Christ is. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 3. Giving no offense in anything. Why? That the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Do you see those verses right there? If you claim to be a Christian, you're representing Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to close with this tonight. People say, you know, well, why do I have to abstain from all appearance of evil? Why do I have to strive to live? It keeps you safe. When you stay in this book and you walk with God, it keeps you safe. I'm not talking about a safety that something bad might not happen to you. That's not the kind of safety I'm talking about. I'm talking about it keeps you safe spiritually. Though everything around you might fall apart, your health might fall apart, your family might fall apart, God forbid these things and afflictions and trials and temptations may come upon you, yet spiritually you'll be secure and safe because you're walking in the light, you're walking with your Savior. Romans 1, Paul gives a warning to individuals that think that they can do it without this book and God. And brethren, I want to look at a few things here real quick. For those that think that things have gotten better and we've improved in our society after we've rejected God. Some things, and most of it is from the CDC. Center of Disease Prevention and Control or something like that. CDC. Right? Murder. We're going to close with this. The U.S. murder rate rose 30% between 2019 and 2020, the largest single-year increase in more than a century. We're getting better. We're getting better as a society. Everybody loves one another. The CDC has not yet published a total number of murders in the U.S. in 2020, but according to the FBI, there were 21,570 murders last year, up 29% from 669 in 2019, the highest annual total since 1995. Most states saw their murder rates go up between 2020. At least 8 states saw their murder rates rise by 40% or more last year. Pennsylvania went up 39%. But we're better. We're better without God. Suicide. Was among the top 10 leading causes of death in the United States in 2020 among persons ages 10 to 64. It's the second leading cause of death among children, adolescents aged 10 to 14 and adults aged 25 to 34. And the biggest number is white men. Second leading cause of death among children aged 10 to 14 in 25 through 34. Suicide. Kids taking their own life. But better without God in schools, we're doing better without God in the schools, we're doing better with taking down the Ten Commandments. We're doing a lot better pushing evolution. We're getting better. From 1981 to 2006, the rate has gone up each year from 27,000 in 1981, this is talking about suicide, to 45,000. 5,000 people in 2006 took their life. That's 2006. I can't imagine what it's like in 2022. Suicide was the 10th leading cause of death overall in the United States, claiming the lives of over 47,000 people. There are nearly 2.5 times as many suicides in the United States as there were homicides. People taking their own life. If things are so good, why are people taking their own life? If it's so good without God, and we're evolving and becoming better, and our technology, brother, we have never had it as good as ever in this country when it comes to physical things, yet it seems like more and more people are more dissatisfied and taking their own life. Why? Because we've thrown this in the trash can and said, God, we can do it. Drug overdose. January 2015, for that year, the year of 2014, 47,523 deaths from overdose. January 2022, 103,000 overdose deaths. That's the ones that they can count. That's not the ones that they don't know about. That's the ones they can count. 100,000 people last year overdosed. Provisional CDC's National Center for Disease or Health Statistics indicate that there were in an estimated 100,000 drug overdoses death in the United States during a 12-month period ending in April 2021, an increase of 28.5% from 78,000 deaths during the same period the year before. We jumped up 28% from the year before. I can't imagine what it's going to be like this year. Brother, more and more people getting addicted to heroin and fentanyl and overdosing. We're not getting better. We're going the opposite direction. And I said this morning, sexually transmitted diseases. 1 in 5 people in the U.S. have a sexually transmitted disease. 26 million new STD cases in the United States in 2018. 26 million. Almost half of new STD cases were among youth aged 15 to 24 in the U.S. When I was dealing with those kids in that juvenile for 6 years, that was a major problem and issue, especially among the female population. Across the U.S. yearly, new STD totals nearly $16 billion in direct medical costs. But we're getting better. We're improving. Brother, we're not getting better. But we get better in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't say those things statistics to make us feel bad or discouraged. I say, and I read those things, of more pushing us to live closer to Jesus Christ and be a brighter light to what these people out here are going through that have rejected, some have rejected God, and this nation's rejected God and caused a great darkness to come over this country, a perverse nation we live in. But God expects us to shine His lights and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to tell those out there that there is hope. That you just didn't evolve. That you're not a piece of pond scum that developed in your human being over billions of years. But that the Creator that created you and made you, and He can forgive your sins, and He can deliver you from the darkness that you're living in. And it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now more than ever do we need to shine and be beacons of light to this lost and dark world. Because there's some out there, I believe it, that are looking for hope. They're looking for something to grasp onto. They're looking for something to save them from the darkness that's taking them over. May God help us to be that light and be a correct representation of Jesus Christ. Let's not blaspheme His name. Let His name be glorified in our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Creator, God. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the church, Lord. I thank you for the brethren here. Stir our hearts. Lord, stir our hearts, Lord, that your light can shine through. brighter in these days to come. Though the things out here in this world may get darker, help us to be brighter. Lord, help us to spend time in your word. Lord, help us to prove all things. Help us to hold fast to those things that are good. Help us to abstain from all appearance of evil, dear Lord. And help us to be the ambassadors you desire for us to be. Now help us through this week, Lord. And may you be glorified. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close the familiar one.
Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brethren, this one we'll see Wednesday.